If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of John with me, please. I hope somebody else has enjoyed this book as much as I have. It sure has been a blessing to me. I was looking at the book of Jude today. I had already forgotten that it hadn't been too long ago that we kind of went through that book. And I didn't really plan it this way, just the way the Lord put it in my heart. Brother Larry, you were down there having surgery when the Lord said, I've written these things that you might believe. I don't care who you are, how long you've been in this trail. We need help to believe God. Amen. And we need to believe Him more and more. The Bible said over in, I'm going to be preaching tonight in John 9, but I want to read a couple verses over in John chapter 21. If you find John 22, you got the wrong Bible. John chapter 21 and verse 25 said, there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And then the Bible said in chapter number 20 and verse number 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We're going to read tonight from John chapter number 9. The Bible is teaching us here about a man that was born blind. The Lord has taught me some things as I've studied this. I believe every time you look at the Bible, God will teach you something if you're open to His Word, and if you walk with the Holy Spirit, I believe He'll have something to show you. The Bible said, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. I'm not preaching on this tonight, but I tell you, you ought to underscore that, the night cometh. I'm telling you, there's a night coming in this world, amen, when it's going to be too late to work, and it's going to be too late to be saved. The Bible said, As long as I'm in the world, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors thereof, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, I love this. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. We'll read some more in the chapter as we go through the message, but for now, let's stop right there and have prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the men of God that are in the service. Thank you, Lord, especially tonight for Brother Joe. Lord, I thank you for men, Lord, that have just stayed faithful through the years. How it blesses our heart and how it gives us hope, our Lord, that we can stay in the path and walk with God until you come and take us home. I do pray, Father, tonight in Jesus' name, that you would clothe us in our calling, that you would help us, our Father. Anoint us, our Lord, with the fresh oil of heaven, with the dew of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, that one that's here tonight, unsaved, oh God, I pray tonight, speak to that heart. I pray, Lord, draw them with your mighty power. Give them grace to submit, Lord, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God will give you glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Just by way of introduction tonight, I want to just show you tonight that somebody said one time, it's been on a lot of bumper stickers, Jesus is the answer. You've seen that or you've heard that, I'm sure. But I want you to see tonight some of the answers that are put forth in the chapter. First, the answer to the why. Why? We ask that a lot, don't we? Some people have said we should never ask why. I personally don't believe that because our Savior cried from the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Why this story? The Bible said in verse number 1 down through verse number 5, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm telling you tonight, I believe sometimes that heaven's going to be sweet only because Jesus is there, and then we're going to understand the why to a lot of things, beloved, that we've gone through in this walk of life. God said this is happening, that the works of God should be made manifest. I wonder tonight how that would change my life when I'm laying flat on my back in a hospital bed. I wonder how that would change my life when I'm going down there to the graveside of a loved one. If I would just realize that the Bible said all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, that God has a why in mind and that he wants to manifest the works of God in our lives and to those around us. The answer to the how is found in verse number 6. How did it happen? The Bible said, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and he made clay of the spittle and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. The Lord Jesus, when he spit on the ground, his DNA mixed with that of the earth and applied to the eyes of this blind man was going to make the difference. The answer to the where in verse number 7, it happened at the pool of Siloam. He was to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. What happened? The Bible said he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. You know, you don't find in the Bible where this man argued with Jesus. He didn't say, well, what good's that going to do? I've been blind all of my life, amen. He just went and done what the Lord told him to do. I tell you, God healed him. And then the answer to the when, if you look in verse 14 through verse number 16, it was the Sabbath day. You remember, beloved, how the Pharisees hated Jesus for having the gall to heal somebody on the Sabbath day. Jesus told them, you know, that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. They had a way of straining at an ad and swallowing a camel, the religious crowd of that day. Then the answer to the who is at work in this passage? The Word of God said, and as Jesus passed by in verse number 1, I'm glad I know his name. I'm glad I know why he came. He came to save his people from their sin. If you read this in its context, I think it's interesting. And many times I miss this because of the chapter breaks in our English Bible. We miss some truth sometimes. If you look back into the last chapter in verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Boy, it upset them. Amen. It upset them badly. And the Bible said in verse 59, then took they up stones to cast at him, but he hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, if you come right into verse number 1 in chapter number 9,
And as Jesus passed by, he's escaping out of their midst. And they're trying to get him to a place where they can stone him. Amen. But he still has time for a blind man on the way. Amen. As he passed by, he saw this blind man. He said, "Master, who did sin?" Jesus said, "Listen, this is about the works of God." You know, you say, "Preacher, that's way back then. Why did God put this in the Bible?" I tell you why, that you might believe, that I might believe, amen, that he's still passing by, and that he still knows our need. He's still interested in us today, amen. Oh, thank God Jesus passed by in my life and made a difference in my heart and in my life. The who is Jesus. Look at verse 11. "And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus." I'll tell you this tonight, I say it without apology. Everybody that's ever been born again, they met a man called Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's just a little introduction as to the why, the how, the where, the what, the when, and the who that's going on in this chapter. I want to give you three simple comparisons tonight in the chapter, and I'll be finished. First of all, tonight, God spoke to my heart as I looked at this text. There's a man in the chapter that was blind, and he knew it. There was a man in the chapter that was blind, and he knew it. Beloved, that's the man that Jesus healed, the man that was born blind. The man that had never seen the sky, never seen the sun, never seen the moon, never seen the stars, never seen the flowers, never seen the little children play. This man was blind and he knew it. But in the chapter, there's a bunch of men that are blind and they don't know it. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" Look at verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." I'm telling you, beloved, the Lord spoke to my heart. There are men in this world that are blind and they know it. And there are men in this world that are blind and they don't know it. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, God cannot help a man until he knows that he's blind. He cannot help a man until he knows that he's blind and that he's willing to admit that he's blind. Let me give you this tonight. Brother John, I thought this fit so good this morning when you were talking about the deplorables. And the Bible is teaching us here, there was one man who was a beggar, and he knew it. Notice what the Word of God said here. Let me see if I can find this in the text. The Bible said in verse 8, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?'" In this text, I want you to know, not only is there a man that was blind and he knew it, but there's a man that was a beggar and he knew it. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, "Preach, I don't know what that's got to do with anything." Stay with me just a minute and I'll show you. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalms, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I'm telling you, beloved, listen tonight. We'll get saved when we realize we're a pauper, we're a beggar, we're a poor man, amen, and that we need God in our lives. Listen to the book of 1 Samuel. Turn over there with me tonight. This scripture is worth looking at. 1 Samuel tonight, chapter 2 and verse number 8. I believe it's a precious passage of scripture. In the text, there's a man who's a beggar, and he knows it. In chapter 2, of 1 Samuel and verse number 8, the Bible said, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill. to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world upon them. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight you're looking at a beggar that God reached down and picked him up out of the muck and the mire, picked him up out of the dunghill, and set him among princes. The Bible said we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing tonight. There's a man that's a beggar, and he knows it. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of James tonight. The book of James. Not only is there a man that's a beggar and he knows it, but I want you to know tonight, this kind of overlaps a little bit, but there are many men in this chapter who were beggars and they didn't know it. Watch what the Bible said in the book of James. Would you please let this speak to our hearts as a church? The Bible said in James chapter 2 and verse number 1, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool." Can I tell you something tonight? I believe James is addressing this because in the first century it was already going on. Beloved, they were having the faith of the Lord Jesus with respect of persons. You come in dressed to a certain way, wearing certain jewelry, and you got to sit in a certain place. They were making a difference. I'm telling you tonight, I serve a Savior that does not make a difference. Amen. He looks at all men. Watch this now. The Bible said in verse number 4, Are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world? Glory to God. God chose the poor of this world and the rich in faith. The Bible said that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich tonight. Amen. Beloved, listen. There's a man that was a beggar and he knew it. But there were many men in this chapter that were beggars and did not know it. Watch what the Bible said here. "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you out before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which you're called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all." Beloved, I don't know in my life if I've ever read that verse of Scripture in its context. But what God is saying there, we have no reason to stick our chest out. We have no reason to be proud. Because, beloved, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. It doesn't matter if it's a poor man or a rich man or good clothes or not good clothes or smelling good or smelling bad. The ground is level at the foot of that old rugged cross. Beloved, I believe tonight there were many men here that were beggars in chapter number 9, and they didn't know it. You remember tonight, the Bible said the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. You remember that? The Bible said that the beggar also died and was carried by the angels. I wrote me a little note. Look who's begging now. Beloved, now Lazarus is comforted. He's no longer a beggar. But I tell you, the rich man's begging for a drop of water to go on his tongue and cool his tongue. You say, "Preacher, what made the difference? Was it riches?" No, it was Jesus. Abraham was very rich, but he was in Abraham's bosom. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he rejected Jesus. And everybody that rejects Jesus will go to that awful place called hell. Somebody said, "What is at the end for those that are unsaved?" I tell you, beloved, it's a place called hell. That's what's waiting for those that know not the Lord. Let me give you one more illustration of this, and I'll move on and finish the message tonight. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. I'm telling you, beloved, there was one man that was blind, and he knew it. There were many men that were blind, and they didn't know it. There was one man who was a beggar, and he knew it. And there were many men that were beggars, and they did not know it. Oh, I thank God tonight for that day when the Lord let me see myself like he saw me, and that I knew that I was hopeless and helpless without him. Watch what the Bible said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, witness the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Watch this now. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. Let me just stop and say something tonight. I'm going to say it. It needs to be said. Beloved, listen, there are churches in this town that wouldn't want somebody to come in that might get something on their carpet or on their seat. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, you listen to me. They're more concerned about the material things of this world than they are the souls of men. I want you to watch this tonight. The Word of God said here, because thou sayest, I am rich, increase with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not. What I say about the chapter? There are people here that are beggars and they don't know it. Jesus said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Jesus is telling them like it is. Watch what verse 18 said. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I'm telling you, beloved, it fits perfectly with John chapter number 9. There's a man that's blind and he knows it. There are many men that are blind and they don't know it. In Kingsport, Tennessee, there are men that are blind and they know it. And there are men that are blind and they don't know it. There's one man that's a beggar and he knows it. There are many men that are beggars and they don't know it. They're full of pride. They think, beloved, that they've got the world in their hand. But I want you to know tonight, beloved, they need Jesus. The pauper needs Jesus. The rich man needs Jesus. Let me give you this tonight and I'm done. In the chapter tonight, there's one man that's a believer and he knew it. First of all, he was a believer in the physical realm. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 7. Jesus said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. What did the Bible say? It said he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Kind of like when Jesus, when Mary told him over at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's what this man did. He heard Jesus say, he made the spittle, took the spit on the ground, made the clay, anointed his eyes, and said, go wash. And he didn't argue with him. He just went and did. I believe that shows that physically speaking, there's a physical a belief here. He just obeys God and does what Jesus tells him to do. But then listen, not only in the physical realm, look at verse 24 and verse number 25 as well. The Bible said, they're teaching us now there's a man here that was a believer and he knew it. Look at verse 25. Then again called they that the man that was blind, and they said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. That goes to show you what they know. Say amen. They're saying that they know Jesus is a sinner. Now watch verse number 25. He answered and said, he's still in the physical realm. This blind man, this man that was blind and was healed. He said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. He said, I don't know a whole lot, but there's one thing I know. When I got up this morning, I couldn't see. But I can see fine right now. I was blind, but now I see. What a blessing. In the physical realm, this man was a believer. But then in the spiritual realm, I want you to see this tonight. He's a believer. He's going to come now, and I'm not going to read the text right now. I'll read it in a moment. But he's going to come, and he's going to be kicked out of the temple. Watch what the Bible said here. Look at with me at verse number 34. Then answered that said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he found him, he said unto him, Jesus had something to finish up here, Brother Steve. He got it started real good. And I tell you what Jesus loves to do. He loves to finish what he starts. That's why we can call him the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Watch what the Bible said here. He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? I love this man's honesty, his candidness. He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. You say, Preacher, what happened? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know, when you find that word worship in the Bible, more times than not, somebody falls down on their face. I believe this young man, or however old he was, I'm not sure how old he was, but he had been born blind. He's still with his parents. I believe this man, when he realized, that same man that put that clay on my eyes and told me to go wash, it's the same man that hung the world in space. It's the same man that made the stars that I'm looking at and the moon and the sun and the flowers and the trees. He's the creator of all. And he bowed in front of him and worshiped him. One man was a believer and he knew it. He's a believer now, not only in the physical realm, but he's a believer in the spiritual realm. But let me give you this tonight, and I'm done. Many men were unbelievers, and they didn't know it. These are people that sewed the Word of God up in their garments. These are people that could recite Scripture. I'm telling you, beloved, they knew the Word of God, but they did not know the God of the Word. The Bible is teaching us here that many in this chapter are unbelievers. But they did not know it. Look at verse 16. The Bible said, Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? You know, it looks to me like a little bit of common sense would go a long way in these days when you get around Jesus. Had they ever seen anybody else heal the blind? Had they ever seen anybody else, beloved, turn water into wine? Had they ever seen anybody else take two fishes and five loaves and begin to bless it and break it and feed 5,000 men besides the women and children? Just a little bit of common sense ought to cause a man to take a half a step back and say, That must be him. That must be the one we're looking for. But instead, these that are blind, spiritually blind, they're jealous of him. Where he goes, great multitudes go. When he speaks as one having authority, not like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beloved, they're unbelievers. The Bible said some of them, the Pharisees said, This man is not of God. Others, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. There's a division today in the world. Because some, they understand that's him. Jesus, that's him. Others don't believe that. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents. On him, the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind?
How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means? This is one of the saddest texts in the Bible to my heart. I mean, if I had my boy down at St. Jude, and he was dying with cancer, and Jesus come in the room, and Jesus touched my boy. Somebody come along and said, Who touched your boy? I'm going to tell you what, like it or love it, I don't care where I get kicked out of. I'm going to say it's Jesus that touched my boy. But the parents, the Word of God, I'll just paraphrase, for fear of the Jews, they were afraid of getting kicked out of the synagogue. How sad that somebody would hold on to their religious organization and not take a hold of the Savior of the world and take a stand for Him. How sad. There are many unbelievers. Beloved, I don't know. I can't say. Maybe you can say. But it looks to me like these parents right here are a whole lot more like the Pharisees than they are this son. I hope that changed, Brother Joe, somewhere along the way. I hope maybe that son was able to say, Mom, Dad, that's Jesus. Not only did he give me my sight physically, but there's a heaven to gain, a hell to shun. I believed on him, and the burden of my sin was lifted off of me. I want to believe that he was able to make a difference in Mom and Dad's life. Many were unbelievers. They didn't know it. You look on down through here. The Bible said, He answered them, I told you, verse 27, already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? This is the man that was born blind. He's questioning them. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. I believe this man's got more sense in his little finger than they've got in their whole body. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. And beloved, I have made a mistake through the years with this verse of Scripture. I know I have said this over and over and over. I know that I have said that it's the Pharisees that said, we know that God heareth not sinners. It's not the Pharisees that said that. It was the blind man that was healed. The Lord showed me that. I'd made a mistake in that area. Watch this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and do his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? This is the man that was healed again, still talking. He said, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether. Here you go, Brother John, the deplorables. That's what they're looking. They said, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. I'm telling you, beloved, there are people in this text that were blind, didn't know it, but there was one man that was blind and he knew it. There are people in this text that were beggars and they didn't know it, but there was one man that was a beggar and he knew it. There was one man that was a believer and he knew it. There were many men that were unbelievers and they didn't know it. There are people today, while we're having church tonight, going to leave out of this world. And they're trusting the fact that someday they were dipped in a water hole. Someday they put some money in an offering plate. They belonged to a church, had their name on a church roll somewhere. And they left this world trusting that to take them to heaven. I tell you, beloved, Jesus told a very religious man, Nicodemus, except you be born again, You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I believe tonight that it's not worth taking a chance on. I have several. I like to mess with guns. I have several revolvers. I have different ones, automatics and or semi-automatics and revolvers, but you could not get me to take a revolver that has six holes in the cylinder and put one bullet in it and spin it and aim it at my head and pull the trigger with a 1 out of 6 chance that it might go off. And yet day after day after day after day, people go on without Christ, taking a chance with something more precious than life itself, that is their soul. This life's going to end. This flesh is going to die. But I tell you, we have a soul that's going to live on forever, be somewhere forever, forever and forever. Beloved, tonight, let me ask you to do this. If you don't know Him, humble your heart. Come to Him. Ask Him to forgive you. He will. He will. Sherry, could you say amen for me right there? He will, won't He? He will. Amen. If we'll do like Brother Brian said one time, take sides with God against ourselves. God, you're right. God, I'm wrong. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you preach this tonight. Well, in some ways, I don't either. But God knows. Amen. God knows tonight. Everybody that puts a Bible under their arm and goes to church is not a Christian. Brother Joe, you'll say amen right here. Even everybody that puts one on a pulpit and stands behind it is not a Christian in these days, brother. Those prisons, those chaplains, I'm afraid many of them did not even know Christ. It was just a job. They went off somewhere and studied how to be. I believe that the ministry is a call of God on a person's life. Beloved, tonight, if you don't know Him,